Tonight we gather to share an observance that is probably as old as human history. The ceremonial sharing of food and drink is probably one of the most universal symbols of community. The custom has become an important part in many religious traditions. Tonight we observe the Christian tradition of the reenactment of what has become known as the Last Supper. Today is designated as Maundy Thursday on the Christian calendar. The word Maundy comes from the Latin mandatum, meaning that which you have commanded to do. The reference is to the words attributed to Jesus found in John 13. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, also should you love one another. It's taught that Jesus spoke these words at that Passover Seder, his last meal with his followers. So tonight we focus on that mandate of love, a love that's marked by humble service to others, a love for the poor and the rejected, a love that is the very foundation of community. That first communion was not some mystical transubstantiation, but a reminder from that young prophet of ancient Galilee to his followers to continue to stand for the right, to serve humbly, to love the poor and the sick, and to strive to bring all into one community of caring. Please be seated and attentive to our first reading.
A reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 1 through 15. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said, "Not everyone was clean." When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." Thus ended the reading.
In many denominations, Maundy Thursday is a day when it's customary for clergy to recommit to their calling of humble service. That story of the washing of the feet that Marvin just read reminds us that ministry to others is not some glamorous profession. Most of the time, it consists of one small and humble act of service to others after another. And it is ministry that is on my mind tonight and each time we celebrate this holiday. In the past few weeks, I've had the occasion to speak with several of the now ordained ministers who have come from this church for various different reasons. And my thoughts went out to all the ministers that this church has produced in the past few years. I think of Walter LaFleur, Rebecca Benefield Bajour, Sylvia Stocker, Meg Anzalone, Susie Phoenix. And of course, I think about Eileen with us here tonight, whose calling to ministry we have seen blossom here among us. And I think of all those who are preparing for professional ministry or just beginning their ministry and all the things that they have learned. And I think none more important than the understanding that ministry at its core is a call to humble service. Tonight especially, I think with gratitude, not only for ordained ministers, but for all lay ministers, particularly our three lay ministers. And it's so appropriate that they are, two of them can participate as part of the service tonight. They are Marsha Rising, Marvin Drake, and Elizabeth Cobbler, who is out of the country on a well-deserved vacation. They have a special role in our church. They assist me in so many ways, from answering my telephone when I'm away, to responding to people's calls, to visiting the sick and the elderly. They help to bring this community to those who can't be here with us. I cannot do the ministry of this church without help, and I'm very grateful for their help. I'm also thinking about the caring connection coordinators and all those who help with caring in their districts, those who provide that humble service of a meal or a ride to a doctor's appointment for someone in need. I think of those who just simply respond by sending a card when I send out an email that one of us is in need of support or sympathy. And as I say to you each time, if you remember those emails when I send them out, thank you for the many ways that you minister to each other. Here at First Parish, there are just so many layers of ministry. Tonight, I also think of all the ministers that have served this congregation in the past. I especially remember our late minister emeritus, Don Kafka, who I know many of you remember as well. And I think of the thousands of acts of humble service to folks in this church that those past ministers performed, most of which will never be known, but every one of which helped to heal a person or strengthen a community. Tonight again, this afternoon, I was in here setting up and looking at the names that run across the top of that quilt. Those are most of the ministers, at least those who served a reasonable amount of time, who were in this parish, who for hundreds of years gave humble service to this church. And I think also of the line of ministers that serve the Universalist churches of both South Acton and West Acton that have, through a process, become part of one congregation with us. And with all the changes we have experienced over those hundreds of years in theology, in society, I think about, in fact, I guess I marvel at, how that tradition of humble service that Jesus taught still continues really in very much the same way as it always has. As I mentioned earlier, the word Maundy, used to describe this day, comes from the Latin mandamus, or mandatum, meaning command. The command that is referred to in those words is, love one another as I have loved you, sometimes called the new commandment. All real ministry really is an expression of love. And I don't just mean that ordained ministry. I mean, or even those who have title of lay minister or some other official position. But I mean all our ministries, your ministry. Every one of you has a ministry. And at its core, it is love expressed and humble service. To this traditional celebration tonight, we bring a special part of our own history as well. We'll be using, as you see on the front and on the side, the historic communion silver that our Unitarian and Universalist forebears in both Acton and Stowe used for this very same service and for other services during the church year. In doing so, we are reminded to our connection to the past and our roots in the teachings of Jesus. We pause in gratitude for all those before us who have passed this on to us. These silver vessels hold more than bread and wine. They hold memories of loving and caring communities. And the communion we celebrate is a symbolic expression of the community of this church and those churches that came together to form it. We remember how we were ministered to and how we ministered to others. It's particularly fitting that this night we raise up our Universalist side of our heritage, because at the very core of Universalism is what's called the gospel of love. Some would say that love is God, and others would say that God is love. Doesn't matter which way you put the emphasis, really. Love is the transformative power in our lives. We are transformed even if it is in some very small way that we hardly pay attention to, each time that we express love and humble service. And not just to our friends and to this church, but to those who come through our doors who are new, who are troubled, those who are in a greater community that are in need, really, in many ways, that we reach out with love to the world. The joy of our ministry, mine, yours, that of the ministers of this church, the ministers this church has produced, and those who stood in this place in the past, is and always has been the transformation that comes from sharing our love and humble service to others. It is in our caring, our loving, our sharing, that we feel the presence of the Holy and that we stay connected with the best part of ourselves. Our very ancient forebears in the Christian tradition would say in Latin, Ubi caritas et amor Deus ibi es. Where charity and love abound, God is there. So let us conclude this time of reflection by listening to those words sung beautifully in music.
Thank you. A reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verses 7 through 20. Then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover meal." "Where do you want us to prepare for it?" they asked. And he replied, "As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, all furnished. Make the preparations there." And so they left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover meal. And when the hour came, Jesus and his disciples reclined at the table. And he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, Jesus gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." I invite you, as we prepare to share in communion, to rise as you are able and sing together hymn number 405, "This Do in Memory of Me."
Here in this liberal church, all are invited to partake in communion. It is not a matter for what faith tradition you come from. The word communion means an act of sharing. It comes from the same root as does the word community, and that's what we celebrate. Our participation in communion is not a sign in some exclusive religious organization of membership in that. It's not a way to buy personal salvation. The bread and the wine are symbols. The transformation we hope for is not the bread and the wine, but rather within ourselves. The bread reminds us that many hunger, both spiritually and physically. The wine reminds us that many search for justice and righteousness. It is in sharing these elements that we are reminded that community is about giving and receiving. But we cannot celebrate community without reflecting on the times that we have failed to sustain and create it. We pause to recall those things we have done which we ought not have done, and those things which we could have done, but we have left undone.
Ever mindful of our constant failures to create community, may we read responsively the Litany of Atonement found in your gray hymnal, number 637. I will read the plain text, and I invite you to respond with the italics. For remaining silent when a single voice would have made a difference,
we forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love.
For each time that our fears have made us rigid and inaccessible,
we forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love.
For each time that we have struck out in anger without just cause,
we forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love.
For each time that our greed has blinded us to the needs of others,
we forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love.
For the selfishness which sets us apart and alone,
we forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love.
For falling short of the admonitions of the Spirit,
we forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love.
For losing sight of our unity,
we forgive ourselves and each other. Begin again in love.
For those and for so many acts, both evident and subtle, which have fueled the illusion of separateness, we forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love.
I'd like to invite our lay ministers, Marcia and Marvin, and Chair of our Worship Committee, Ann Gillespie, to join us up here for the communion ceremony. Let us now come together in a spirit of prayer.
We remember those who have gone before us, whose love still lives in our heart, but whose life among us has ended. They have touched our lives in a special way, and we bring them with us to this service of memory and hope. I invite you to reflect upon them now and speak their names aloud if you wish.
We remember those who are ill or infirmed physically or mentally, those who have chronic conditions, and those who are handling a challenging medical diagnosis. And all those who are going through difficult times, we bring them into our hearts now. You may speak their names aloud if you wish.
We pray for justice in our time, for an end to violence and war, for peace in our hearts, in our community, and in the world. And we pause now to reflect upon all those prayers within our hearts.
I invite you to speak any special prayer you'd like to share with this community. Let me begin by us collectively offering a prayer for those who are victims of terrorism, especially the people in Belgium. Finally, on this night, when we look to the teachings of Jesus, we invite you to pray the prayer that he taught, that is printed in your order of worship. You may use whatever term of address that you find most appropriate. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. We will first break bread and pass the bread. If you have a wheat allergy, there is a non-gluten alternative. So when the bread is passed, if you would just raise your hand, Anne will have a gluten-free, which has been kept separate from all the bread with gluten in it, and she will bring that to you. And then Marvin and Marcia will be passing the regular bread. After everybody has been given a priest, we'll together eat the bread. Then the wine, which is grape juice, not fermented grape, but just grape juice, will be passed, and together we can drink that. During the distribution of the elements, Eileen and I will be reading some passages, which are followed by a sung refrain. And we'll begin the preparation once by the choir singing the refrain, then everyone will repeat it. And after that, please join in singing the refrain each time. Follow the choir's lead as to when to sing. From you, I receive the bread. A reminder that we all need to be nourished, both physically and spiritually. We need each other as a community. Each of us needs to receive the support of others, members of this community. No one goes this way alone. May each of us receive the things we need. From you I receive, to you I give, together we share, and from this we live.
We too must give, for it is in giving that we receive. We live in a world of great privilege, while others die of starvation. Even in our community, there are those whose needs go unmet. May we give as we are able.
You are received, to you.
Take now and eat the bread of life, food for the spirit. May we be nourished and mindful of our obligation to nourish others. Now gathered in this holy place, at this table we share food and drink. just as Jesus did on the last meal with his followers. They are the symbols of what is required to sustain our bodies. The call is to share more than bread and wine. The call is to share ourselves, to be part of an ever-growing and expanding community.
It is by this commitment to give and to receive that we live. A commitment that says that we are a community in which everyone has needs, and we are also a community where everyone has something to give. Our community is much bigger than just this church. We are called to reach out and to create a community of the world. It is by this message of receiving, giving and sharing that we live.
From you I receive, to you I give, together we share, and from this we live.
Take now and drink the fruit of the vine, poured for all who thirst for justice, mercy, and love. As we drink, may we be ever mindful of those whose thirst goes unquenched.
Thank you.
Dear God, in this place, at this table, in words and in music, in touch and in taste, we have experienced that kind of love that Jesus taught. Let that spirit of love flow through us to all those around us with whom we share our lives. May this bread provide strength beyond our imagining, this cup, a blessing that fires our vision. And may this table be a welcoming table to all who seek community. Amen.
Lead us from death to life, from falsehood to truth. Lead us from despair to hope, from fear to trust. Lead us from hate to love, from war to peace. Let peace fill our hearts, our world, our universe.
And may the peace we call the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, dwell in our hearts and in our minds this day and forevermore. Amen.